This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. Allahu, 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 Allahu,
Welcome to Heart and Soul with me, Lauren Booth, your place to reflect. Joining me today is Hamza Sorsis. Hamza is an international public speaker on Islam. He's an instructor for the Islamic Education and Research Academy in the UK. His first book on Islam and atheism is due to be published later this year. Salam, Hamza, welcome.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We want to talk today about this massive context of existence being both that of free will and yet contained by the divine will.
Yes, the Quranic narrative on human beings is that we have volition, we have free will. And there are some things we can control and some things that we cannot control. For example, I can decide to sit on a bench waiting for the bus. That's within my control. I can stand up and leave. I can remain there waiting for the bus. But I can't control a meteorite landing on my head. So there are some things I can control and some things I can't control.
When it comes to that which we can't control, who is controlling it? And can it be impacted by any behaviours?
Well, this is quite interesting because in the Islamic tradition, everything is controlled by Allah, even the things that we claim to control, which is quite interesting because we believe Allah is Al-Khaliq, which basically means He is the Creator, and He creates all action. Now, the way the ulama, the scholars, have tried to reconcile between the fact that God creates all actions and we have free will is that God creates all our actions from the point of view that He has created the physical causes, the asbab, the physical causes, that we use to act. So God is the creator of the action, but we are the actors. And we have our free will to basically use those physical causes or these any type of causes in order to basically put an action together. But we are not the underlying creator of that action. And there's the reconciliation from that point of view. But I would even say this whole concept of free will and divine predestination and divine decree is actually not really meant to be a philosophical exercise in the Quran, because the Quran is a very deep spiritual text. It must be understood that way. And we must remove the kind of what I would call medieval philosophical lenses when we're looking at the Quran, because there's a lot of kind of Hellenic philosophical baggage that we're using when we're looking at the Book of Allah. Now, I would even be try to be brave here and say we will never solve the philosophical problem of predestination. And it's not for us to solve, because this is in the realm of the divine reality. He has all knowledge and all wisdom, and we don't. Even trying to fathom what's going on that level, it's like an ant trying to think like an elephant. You know, they're two different paradigms. So when you really focus on the Quran and the prophetic sunnah, the traditions of the Prophet Muhammad, upon whom be peace, the concept of qadr, yes, it's a creedal concept. We have to believe in it to be Muslim. It's one of the six pillars of Iman, the six pillars of faith, but at the same time, it's there to empower us. And let me give you some examples. You know, the Quran and the Prophet always mention that if the whole world were to come against you to harm you, they will never harm you unless it's in line with the will of Allah. And if the whole world were to come to benefit you, they will never benefit you unless it's in line with the will of Allah. And this is very profound implication to the way we live our lives, because it shows to us everything is because of Allah's will. Now, this doesn't give you a defeatist mentality. In actual fact, it should give you wings to fly. Why am I saying this? Because we really believe, لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. There is no true power apart from the power of Allah. And things happen because of Allah's qudra, power, and irada, and His will. The question is for believers, do you know God's will? We don't know what's happening in 5 minutes. We don't know how Allah is going to use these physical causes in the universe to manifest his will. Mm. That lack of knowledge is actually so empowering, because it shows to you now that you now have an infinite realm of possibility to achieve what you can until Allah's will has manifested itself.
Mm.
Now, this is very powerful, because if you don't believe in this, we usually have this kind of defeatist mentality. Oh, you know, I can't do it. I don't have enough time. Or I'm not good enough. Or there are too many obstacles in my path. Or I blame the media. Or I blame, you know, people who don't like us.
Mm-hmm.
Or I blame politicians. This is a very disempowering position. But as a Muslim, we should never give blame to these things. These are things that Allah just uses to bring about His will. So since you don't know Allah's will, then that creates an infinite realm of possibility to achieve what you can until Allah's will manifest itself. And if you tried your best, and it seems to be negative, and it seems to be evil, and it seems to be very bad for you, or there's some kind of suffering involved, for the Muslim, they see the goodness behind it. Because our theology is a very positive theology, which means every evil, even noxious bodies, even killing and suffering, yes, has been willed by Allah, but ultimately it's based on an eternal wisdom and goodness. And this is everything. This basically reconciles all types of evil, because we believe that it's ultimately for a greater divine cosmic goodness and in line with the cosmic divine wisdom. So everything is good. And it's in line with the famous prophetic tradition of the Prophet Muhammad, upon whom be peace, when he said, amazing is the situation of the believer. When something good happens to him, he's thankful, and that's good for him.
So this was summarized really well by the Prophet, peace be upon him, when a man came to him one day and he had a camel outside the meeting place, and he was confused, and he went in to speak to the Prophet, upon him be peace, and he said, I've got a camel outside. Shall I just expect Allah to take care of it, or shall I tie it up? And the Prophet of peace said famously, tie up your camel and then trust in Allah, meaning that if you leave your car open in a place where cars get stolen, it may well get stolen. But if you lock it and it gets stolen, there's nothing more you could have done. Is that a good explanation?
Yeah, that's very good. It basically means that you just need to do your bit and then leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the Islamic tradition. But when we go deep into the concept of divine decree and predestination, it's actually very empowering. It means that you cannot now really blame the physical things in the universe, whether it's a human being or a bunch of entities that basically have stopped you from achieving what you want to achieve, because those are only tools that Allah uses to manifest His will. So go connect straight to Allah. Forget these intermediary physical causes. And that's the interesting thing. So if that's the case, these are just used by Allah to manifest His will. If we don't know Allah's will, then that creates an infinite realm of possibility to achieve what you can. It's actually very empowering. We should, you know, be able to think that we can achieve anything, and then we wait for Allah's will. And then if something happened that went against our own plan, then we know there's still goodness in it, because as the Prophet Muhammad, upon him be said, if something of harm befalls you, the Muslim is patient, and that's also good. You know, it's good because he's thankful.
That's a perfect place to take a break. We'll be back after this from Abdullah Roll.
Glory to Allah, thanks is to Allah, Alhamdulillah. Praises to Allah, glory to Allah, Subhanallah. Glory to Allah. In the beginning there was nothing but Allah. Not a single soul, young or old, nothing but Allah. No sun, no moon, no planet earth, no guiding star. No day or night, there was nothing near or far. The first thing that our Lord created was the pen. He ordered it to write down every single thing. So it wrote down everything that will come to pass. Until the day of judgment, that day will be the last. And then He created the heavens and the earth, and every living thing inside His universe. Nothing that He created can compare to Him. He gave birth to none, none gave birth to Him. Allah depends on none, while all depend on Him. We all depend on Him. All glory to Allah, Subhanallah. to Allah. All thanks is to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Praises to Allah. All glory to Allah. Subhanallah. Glory to Allah. None but Allah provides the air that we all breathe. The rain, the sun, the trees, He knows what we need. His blessings and His mercy daily we receive. Should we not give Him thanks, we say we believe. Was all this created just for having fun? No reflection, no purpose, no reason. Does man think that he will be left to wander free without being held accountable for all his deeds? Allah created us so we can worship Him. Not His creation nor His creatures, only Him. Associate none as a partner with your Lord. As true believers, that's a sin we can't afford. He is the only one worthy of our praise. We all depend on Him. All glory to Allah, subhanallah. Glory to Allah. All praises to Allah, alhamdulillah. Praises to Allah. All glory to Allah, subhanallah. Nothing but Allah. Glory to Allah. Praises to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Praises to Allah. Glory to Allah. Glory to Allah. Glory to Allah. Glory to Allah. Praises to Allah.
You're listening to Heart and Soul on QF Radio with me, Lauren Booth. Sharing his gems of knowledge today is Hamza Sources. Salam, Hamza.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We have been discussing how Allah's will is manifest in this physical realm and how we cope with that psychologically. And that the what can be seen as a boundary is actually a freedom. It's a freedom to understand that when things go wrong, it can be a benefit for us, but we can't see the benefit. But somebody out there can. That's reinforcement, isn't it? That's reassuring.
It is, and it shows to us that we have to have a positive view on life. For example, even if something is bad or seems evil, some kind of calamity, we have to get our magnifying glass, our good-seeking magnifying glass, our wisdom-seeking magnifying glass, because we know ultimately behind this, there is a goodness and a wisdom behind this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, when something befalls you that is of suffering or evil, you now need to put that, you need to start using that magnifying glass and look for that wisdom and goodness, because ultimately you will find it. How many times have we looked into our past and said, subhanallah, who connects the dots? Who writes the script? It's not me. If this bad thing never happened to me, maybe I couldn't be in this position now. Something like the art of Islamic, the Islamic art of positive thinking, that you know that Allah's will doesn't contradict His nature, right? Because His will is a derivative of His nature, and His nature is what? Goodness. Al-Qudus, He is holy. Al-Hakim, He is wise. Al-Rahman, He is lovingly merciful. Al-Wudud, He is the loving. So ultimately, all of these things that happen are in line with that, you see. So if you have those lenses on, of seeking the good in it, seeking the wisdom, seeking a more profound, deeper understanding, then this is phenomenal. I mean, even if you were to lose your legs, Allah forbid, right? Mm. Even if you were to lose your legs, that could be basically one of the best things that happened to you. You don't know. You don't know, right?
Do you know, I've actually seen that in action. I was in Gaza, and there was a young man called Mohammed, and he had lost his legs due to war and violence. And when he woke up from a coma in an Egyptian hospital, the first word he said was, Alhamdulillah, thanks and praise to Allah. And his mother was crying, and he said, why are you crying? She said, Habibi, my son, you've lost your legs. He said, thanks be to God, because God has kept me with my hands, and I can hold you and kept me with my eyes, and I can see you. And there is khair in this. And nobody could believe his patience outside of that environment where patience is demanded.
For sure. And, you know, Allah says he doesn't burden us all more than he can bear. For me, that's quite empowering, because it means when Allah gives you a test, he knows that you can pass the test. Mm-hmm. And that is empowering, because he knows you better than anyone else, better than Allah, nobody. Allah knows Hamza better than Hamza knows Hamza, right?
Mm.
Even if I think I have shortcomings, Allah's giving me a test. He's trying to say to me, hey, you can pass this. Because we have a hadith in Tirmidhi, which is the collections of prophetic tradition, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when Allah loves a believer, a servant, he tests him. You know, a test a part of life. You know, Allah says in the Quran that we have created death and life, you know, in order for you to be tested to see which one of you is best in deed and best in conduct. So this is very important kind of spirituality for us to understand that, you know, when we are tested, that we have to basically understand we have the right tools to pass that test, and we have to search for them, connect with Allah, make dua to Allah, basically say to Allah, you know, you've given me this test, let me find the wisdom and goodness behind this and give me an ability to pass.
You know what is really testing psychologically? A single two-letter word messes us up, makes us unhappy, can put us into bed for weeks with depression and worse. And that word is if, right?
Yes.
If I had done that at that time, this would have happened and I wouldn't be here now, which I don't like. If I do that, if you use that word for the future, if I do this, this is going to happen. It's a huge weight on your shoulder. It's like the whole universe is on your back, because everybody around you and every outcome is dependent on your particular moment. And don't go into the past, because, wow, how many ifs can we all drag up from that?
That's,
you know, that backpack, right?
Islam teaches us that the past doesn't equal the future. You know, the angels, when Allah spoke to them and said he's going to send down a vicegerent on earth, the angels replied, this is in Surah Baqarah verse 30, the angels basically said, are you going to send someone down who's going to create mischief and spill blood? And Allah says, I know that which you do not know. And the ulama say the reason the angels said this is because they had past previous experiences of what was happening on earth. And this just teaches us that don't always think that the past equals the future. And I think that's very empowering as well, because every moment is a new moment.
Mm.
And every moment is a new moment for Allah's will to manifest itself. And you don't know what that will is. So you need to really understand that, you know, you have that infinite realm of possibility to do what you can and achieve what you can until His will manifests itself. And when His will manifests itself, then you know it's still ultimately based on some goodness, even if you don't like it, right? Because of who Allah is. And that's very important to the conversation, to understand who Allah is and reflecting on His beautiful names and attributes. So absolutely. I mean, if there's a Cypriot Greek saying that basically is doyan vlastises, which basically means the if you planted it, you planted it, but it never grew. So it's like, you know, the if is like a seed that you think you put it in the ground, but it never grew. If basically means, you know, don't worry about it from that perspective. You know, it's like a seed that never grows. And even thinking about it, you know, people thinking about what if I did this, what if I did that, you know, you're never going to have anything happen. It's not going to change anything.
And psychologically, that is a paralyzing force. It is one of the most negative thought processes to get into. All of us will know somebody who is really caught in an if moment. And what is our instinct? Our instinct is to say, forget it, find closure, put it away, not to explore it, pick at it, wonder about it. And this is actually, you know, one of the ethics of the Quran is package the bad away, look back at the good that's been given to you, and do not do if.
Well, this is the profound nature of understanding qadr, understanding divine decree and predestination, because if someone really understands this properly, they will never be depressed in their life. They never look back into history saying, what if I did this, what if I did that? Because you know that these things happen because of Allah's will, and there's nothing you could have done. Even if you had a mountain of gold, there's nothing you could have done to change these things. This is beyond your control. And one of the key signs to contextual type of depression is that you think you control things that you can't control. You can't control the past. You can't control Allah's will. This is beyond you. And, you know, a sign of a kind of tranquil human beings, that they only focus on things they can control. And if they have happened that's against his own, you know, wishes, then he knows this was from Allah. And there's nothing that he could have done to change this. And that is quite empowering. It removes that sense of what if. And if you really understand who Allah is, which is exactly the point of the discussion, then you know, even if something happened in the past that you didn't like, you know it was from the one who is the most merciful, is the most loving, and is the most wise. So the thing that you should be doing is, how do I learn from these past experiences, not from a what-if perspective, but from a, how can I learn from this in order to prepare yourself into the present so you could be a more productive, peaceful, compassionate human being? That's the point. And that's why if someone really understands the concept of qadr, then honestly, I don't think we'll have this contextual type of depression.
Let's wrap this up beautifully with a beautiful spanner in the works, if you like, because dua, a sincere appeal from the heart, from a person who believes in the divine oneness of God, can change, can affect, I won't say change, can affect qadr. How can you put that into, in package that for us and make us understand it, Hamza?
Well, dua is worship, as the Prophet ﷺ said, and dua can basically, now I wouldn't say change qadr, but it could be part of the cause that Allah use in order for your life to be different and in the way that you want. So what we need to understand is that dua is the weapon of the believer, as we know in our tradition, a spiritual weapon, and we have to continually seek Allah's help. And, you know, dua is a powerful force. For example, let's make it practical. If something bad happened to you, or if you want something good for you, then make dua. You know, seek Allah's help, because He's the one who controls everything. There's no point going to something else that has no control of these issues. Go to the one who controls everything and say to Him, Ya Allah, help me achieve this. If it's good for my deen and my dunya, then bring it closer. If it's bad for my deen and dunya, then remove it away from me. And, you know, if you're looking at the past, just ask Allah, you know, that thing that happened to me last year, Ya Allah, please give me an insight into your wisdom, an insight into your mercy behind this. So I learn the lessons from this, I become closer to you, and I could reach paradise, and I could be a more productive human being, and a good Muslim, a compassionate and peaceful Muslim. These are very important things, to have a dialogue and discourse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who controls these things. So go to your master, go to your Rabb, the one who loves you more than your mother does. This is so important for us to have this connection. And you know, when you make these du'as and you talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the past becomes positive, right? And you learn from it, and you move forward in an amazing way. And then things that you ask for, you know that if you're given it, it's good for you. If you're not given it, maybe Allah is giving you something better, maybe in this life and the hereafter. So be a worshipper in terms of keep on making dua, keep on talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what's interesting, if we look at the narrative of chapter 18, verse 66 onwards, with Musa alayhi salam and Khidr, you see that Musa alayhi salam, his whole role in that story was to find out some of the wisdom of God, because Khidr was given some wisdom that Moses wasn't given, Musa alayhi salam wasn't given. And if you see the character of Moses in that narrative, he tried to be patient and he was very humble. And I think it's very important that if we are patient and humble, maybe Allah will reveal some of His wisdom behind the things that happened, and that will give us more sakina, more spiritual tranquility.
We hope for that. I hope for that for all of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah the all-seeing, the all-knowing, pour His abundance upon us all. Many thanks to Hamza Sources for joining me today on Heart and Soul. The producer for this series is Ihab Al-Sheikh. You've been listening to Heart and Soul. Until tomorrow, assalamu alaikum.